The following podcast is rated R for intense action, nudity, adult situations, and strong language. When we say language, we mean fuck, shit, asshole, bitch, goddamn, motherfucker, and bullshit. All of which you have now just heard. And now, enjoy the feature presentation.
What are you looking at? You're not a bunch of fucking prospectors. You know why? You don't have the guts to buy what you want to buy. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the Yachty guy. So what does that make you? Good? You're not good. You know how to snipe, how to watch minor league WOBA. Me? I don't have that problem. Me? I always sell to pitchers. Even at a loss. So say goodnight to the Yachty guy. Come on. It's the last time you're going to see a Yachty guy like this, let me tell you. Come on. Make way for the Yachty guy. There's a Yachty guy coming through. Better get out of his way.
Okay there, TJ?
Yeah, man, I don't know if I mentioned, I haven't been drinking a lot lately, so I've been kind of lapsing from time to time, but whew, yeah, everything's good, man. How you doing? Philly, what's good, bro?
Good, man. I got a first-place team here in my backyard, hit 7 home runs yesterday, so, you know, all aboard that Mariners hype train coming into the postseason stretch here.
So I did mention on the Discord that for the remainder of the 2023 Major League Baseball season, I am a honorary Mariners fan. If you're again on the Discord, you'll notice I started copping some J-Rod short prints. I got that Gatorade bath and a PSA 10. If you listen to the E-Fish, you hear Bobby gassing me up and just taking advantage of my bank account on my behalf. But yeah, let's go Mariners, bro. I'm not watching no Cardinals games. You know that.
Oh, I mean, I don't blame you there. I mean, you got some exciting prospects, but, you know, not worth tuning into versus Julio.
Yeah, it's just, you know, Jordan Walker and Mason Winn, we'll talk about a little bit, getting some reps and just really figuring out what is next year going to look like. So, yeah, in terms of just personal stuff, it's kind of nice to, you know, not be stressed out because, you know, I know how you feel right now. You're watching the standings, right? Watching other games. You're seeing, did the Astros win today or, you know, what's going on with Texas? And, you know, you're watching the wild card. It's stressful, bro.
Oh, as an adult, I've never had to deal with it. This is the latest they've been in first place in 20 years. So this is a whole new experience for me. It's great, but at the same time, it's nerve-wracking.
Yeah, let's go J-Rod. Let me tell you, now I'm invested, so I got a vested interest in this. Real quick, want to give a quick shout out to our unofficial official sponsor, Card Kings in Tucson. My man Matt Mike with the nicest, friendly shop in the town. Plus, he's online at cardkings.com. They do breaks, singles, all that kind of good stuff. Tell him TJ sent you in there so he can hook me up on some boxes.
Love it. I mean, we got Bowman Chrome, you know, mere weeks away. It's We got to have him in our pocket for that, get a little discount on some breaks in the Discord.
Yeah, and I don't want to, you know, trump this episode with the next one, but I anticipate a pretty hefty Bowman Chrome breakdown coming up, so.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I was dreaming last night we might even have a two-parter. Who knows how crazy we'll go on that one.
Well, my HTA is on the way, so I'm excited. Ooh. And can't wait. Bowman Chrome is is probably, you know, probably smarter off being really heavily into Bowman draft, but Bowman Chrome's just so much damn fun, bro. Oh, it's just so much damn fun. You bought anything these last couple weeks, Philly?
I got a Jackson Churio Sapphire First on the way. From all the pictures, I mean, the thing looks immaculate. It's probably going to wind up at your front door before long, going to one of those bulk PSAs and, you know, hope for the best. And I can tell you probably a year from now, that guy's pricing is going to be through the roof once he gets the call. So kind of looking forward to that one. But
that would you pay for that about $70?
Yes, that's it. I mean, compared to Jackson Holiday right now, it's like $150-$200 for a raw. So, I mean, relatively speaking, good deal. I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And those Bowman Chrome First Sapphires are nice because it is a very limited print run. And it's, you know, it's a base card, right? But it's also kind of got that premium of that parallel value. Oh, plus, really? It's just gorgeous. So, yeah, I'd advocate, you know, if you're first Bowman Chrome hunting and maybe you're a true blue or you're green or something is super expensive, grab a base Sapphire, bro. It's a nice card. It's pretty. And like you said, man, yeah, we're putting together another big bulk sub for some guys on the Discord. We're going to send another 20-ish cards in there and try to get some guys some tens back. So I'm excited about that.
That'll be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, so we got everybody getting everything ready to send over right now. That should be a good time. I know Philly's in on that. SSK's in on that. I think Kingdom's going to send in a couple. It should be fun, man.
Starting to line up some cards and all the Alvarez, Sangas, and Beatties you can imagine. And that's going to be a nice order.
And it'll be fun because they'll come in and I'll be like, well, you know, once these grades pop, I'll know whose cards these are. They're clearly not mine. If you guys, any of you guys thinking about subbing any Caminero, we might have to talk first because we don't want shit getting mixed up.
It might get lost in, you know, in the process somewhere. You never know. I mean,
yeah, I've got a few JCs sitting at PSA as we speak. I haven't bought much in the way of prospects, man. I kind of started going crazy on J-Rod and then some Jordan Walker and stuff like that, who's technically not a prospect anymore. But I've been picking up some J-Rod, man. I'm late to the party, but I'm all in.
You know, I mean, I was a little worried that first half of the season, but he's definitely turned it on. I mean, I think he's made the adjustments a little bit, and everybody knows the record-setting weekend he had, and prices are kind of starting to come back up a little bit. And I think you're getting a good time because I think next year he's just going to take off, you know, maybe not Acuna fully, but he might put up a full 30-30 with 300 average. I mean, he's looking for a big year.
Yeah, and he might finish with like 6 or 7 WAR too, the way it's looking, man. Maybe even more. It's gonna be really, really exciting to kind of just watch him grow. He's got that $1 million smile. He's out there, you know, when he robbed the home run, he playing little games and stuff. And you know, Topps has already kind of made him the face of the league with all the promotions and everything they ran early in the year. So, yeah, man, let's go, J Rod. I just picked up his S2 SP as well late last night.
Nice.
So I'll be sitting on both of those, send that to PSA and see what it looks like.
I might send one your way too. I have it's a Bowman, I want to say it's Bowman draft or Chrome, Arizona Fall League card. It's an atomic parallel. Don't see it very often. It's just out of 150, but yeah, him playing for the Peoria team and you know, looks like it's in great shape and might want to slab that guy up just because, yeah, hard to come by.
I've got a Nick Gonzalez, one of those, out of 2022 Bowman, the Atomic, out of 150. Nice. And it's actually, you know, I've been killing SGC lately, but it's sitting in the SGC 9, and nobody wants it, bro. But it's a gorgeous card. It's gorgeous.
Now, I mean, talk about a guy that kind of fell off the hype train a little bit there. I mean, he's in the show now, but from where he was on draft day, that he kind of lost his luster.
Yeah, you got to find that little peak in the valley, that's for sure.
Cool. So should we talk about what's going on in the world of prospects and baseball?
I think that's what we came here to do. I know this first section is unintentionally for Robert F. Baseball, San Robert, California. There we go. Robert, California is another one. I just had it.
Yeah. So what's with the Padres promotions? You know, if you missed it, anybody out there, they bumped 17-year-old Ethan Salas up to AA. And of course, in his first game, walk-off double, you know, win the game for him, of course. They bumped up Dylan Lesko, Robbie Snelling, Samuel Zavala, 3 or 4 other guys as well. Is this, you know, a sign of how fast these guys are going to get there? Or is this, you know, AJ Preller trying to save his job?
I think it's so, you know, Lesko, Snelling, Zavala, those are all 2022 guys. You know what I mean? These are recent signings. And then we all know Salas, you know, they just picked him up 15 minutes ago. The Padres, so they got a couple of issues. One, they're a top-heavy roster, right? They've spent a ton of money on a handful of guys. In addition to that, they sold the farm to go get Soto, Hader, you know what I mean? They shipped off the entire, you know, top tier of their farm system. So these guys you're talking about, Salas, Lesko, Snelling, Zavala, this is the new top tier of their farm system. Right. So they're a little depleted, right? And, you know, you can move it all from one level to the next, but you're going to be thin somewhere, and that's where they're thin. So they're probably trying to fast track a few of these guys, get some guys on some rookie deals, playing early to complement your Sotos, your Machados, you know, all these other huge, your Darvishes, these huge contracts that these guys are going to be playing in Padres uniforms till they're, you know, long in the tooth. So yeah, they need some complimentary guys, and it's a top heavy system, and it's a top heavy farm system that's just kind of been wiped out. So this is the consequence.
Right. And I mean, arguably their number two guy, Jackson Merrill, he's got a guy in front of him named Xander Bogaerts that he isn't going anywhere anytime soon. So, you know, really start developing these guys if they need to turn them into trade chips. I guess that works. But I think kind of the eyes are on AJ Preller to make that into a winning team again. This year was just such a letdown for everybody.
Yeah, nobody expected them to be on the outside looking in of the playoff picture after spending all that money. And, you know, the Mets did the same, but they pivoted and they, you know, they kind of cleaned house a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, not a lot of other teams, they kind of just stood pat. And I mean, this is kind of what happens. You know, you can't just buy it. You can try, but I don't really think there's many recent examples of just buying a World Series anymore. I think you kind of need that mix. You need that mix of that homegrown talent.
I mean, that's, you know, kind of the Astros MO over the last couple of years. You know, garbage can jokes aside, I mean, they bring in Verlander to ace the team, but they develop, you know, all the bats and some of the other pitching within, and look where it got them. They're sustaining success.
Yeah, that's, you know, all that tanking kind of, you know, paid off. I have my thoughts on that. Tanking in trash cans, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, it is what it is. So we got some guys that made the big league debuts the last couple of weeks since we spoke last. First one was Noel V. Marte for the Cincinnati Reds. Big power-hitting third baseman, came over from the Mariners last year in that Luis Castillo deal. So far, you know, he's not really impressing too much. Had a steal in his debut in a pinch-running opportunity, but he's a guy that does need to make some adjustments to start kind of lowering that chase rate a little bit. So it seems like Cincinnati wants to challenge him a little bit and just kind of get it through his head that, like, hey, yes, we know you can hit AAA pitching, you can hit AA pitching, you can hit balls out of the park, but to succeed at the big league level, you're going to need to work on your approach a little bit. So he's been getting some reps, you know, maybe not fully ready yet, but getting a September, late August look is probably going to be a good thing for him.
Yeah, he's got a lot of power, but he's kind of pull happy, right? It seems like he pulls the ball almost exclusively. We're talking about a 21-year-old kid, so he's still got plenty of time. He got 22 at-bats. He's already struck out 8 times. So, you know what I mean? He's still swinging a lot. You know, I like him. You know, he's got plenty of time to develop. You could pick up his first Bowman Chrome Auto for anywhere from $60 to $100. And it's kind of a big range, but, you know, there's comps on both sides. So not a super expensive pickup. And, you know, I always like these 20, 21, 22-year-old guys. It's almost, you hesitate to say a 23, a 24-year-old guy is old,
right?
But, you know, at 21, there's still that room, right, for excitement, for potential, that who knows what's going to happen. You know, he could go crazy for 17 years and play till he's 38.
Right.
So, you know, that's still exciting about him. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind getting in on or holding Marte if that's what you're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the earlier he gets there, the longer the window he has to make it all happen, make it all click. And, you know, the fact that he's in that lineup with guys that are already crushing it, like Ellie, Matt McClain, you know, Jonathan India has been kind of pushed aside and hurt. I mean, so he's getting into a good offense. So once it starts clicking, he's going to put up numbers.
Reds are scary, bro. Reds are scary for the next 5 years.
They might give up 10 runs a game, but they're probably going to score 12, so...
That's that great American ballpark for you, though.
Yep, it's fun to watch.
I'm pretty sure you and I could hit one out over there.
Ooh, if we're ever in Cincinnati, we might have to give it a shot.
Yeah, most definitely.
So next guy, guy near and dear to your heart, Mason Wynn. What are your thoughts so far on his debut?
So I've been, I always, you know, I kind of have a romantic feeling about that 2020 draft class for the Cardinals. It was just such a solid class. I mean, you're talking about Jordan Walker in the league. Alec Burleson got to the league last year. You're talking about Mason Wynn, who just got called up this year. You got Tink Hintz in that class. I mean, it's just a ridiculous. And they only had five rounds that year. Right. It seems like we hit every single round. I was really, really excited about Mason Wynn because when he came up, he was a two-way player, Shohei Ohtani style. You know, he was a pitcher in high school. He hits. He hits a lot. So we've kind of converted him to a shortstop. You know, when they first drafted him, we thought, well, they're going to let him play two ways. No, they put that shit to sleep real fast. So he'll hit, and he plays a slick shortstop. He's fast. He's got, as you would imagine, a hell of an arm. He's that kid that threw 101 miles an hour in the Futures game. So I like him. Not a lot of power. You know, so there's that, but if he's going to field his position, steal some bases, run really quick, have a ton of range and hit, I think he's got a future as our shortstop. It also seems as though the Cardinals kind of moved. I mean, they traded DeJong away,
right,
and they've kind of paved the way for him. So, Mason Wynn's going to play, he'll be rookie of the year eligible next year, right? We held him out just long enough.
It was kind of the cutoff for everybody. So. Guys coming up now are going to be eligible next year.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's still exciting. And he hasn't really impressed so much. So his prices are kind of tanked. I think he's hitting like 170 or something since he got called up.
But it took him a little bit in AAA and AA too to get going. And he's made the adjustments every step eventually. And starting to kind of, I mean, AAA, he was starting to flash a little more power, a little more hit tool. So hopefully it carries over for him.
And he's 21. And 3 years ago, he was playing high school baseball. Right. You know what I mean? So this is kind of interesting. He does not have a first Bowman Chrome auto. He didn't have an auto in the set. So, you know, to the best of my knowledge, with the exception of maybe a Topps Pro debut or something to that effect, he doesn't have a Bowman auto. So if you want to get his first, you can grab a first Bowman refractor or some nice color. You know, you can get a PSA 10 of his first Bowman Chrome refractor for $100.
That's good.
And,
there you go.
And that's a nice card. So, you know, nice little alternative, but looks like we're going to get his first significant autos in his rookie year, hopefully.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I actually heard a story a little bit ago about how they sent him the cards. He just never sent them back in. So they never bothered to put him in any set. They're just kind of sitting somewhere.
So I had an auto of his from Panini Prism Draft Picks, because back in 2020, you just bought whatever the hell you could find on the shelf, right? It didn't matter. It was a Panini, Donruss, I'm buying. I just want to open something. So, yeah, that was, you know, the only time I had seen his auto. So that might be a situation where his rookie autos are a little more hyped, because he hasn't had a rookie auto or an auto of any sort yet, you know, on a Topps product.
That's
so
true.
That's exciting. That might be exciting.
But, yeah, that'll probably be a Series 1, you know, chase next season, I would imagine, at this point.
Certainly.
Cool. So next guy, for our Giant fans out there that, you know, we constantly bag on, we got Kyle Harrison made his debut this last week. You know, he's a guy that came into the year as like the top lefty pitching prospect in all of baseball ahead of Tiedemann, you know, arguably up there with Andrew Painter. Really just great stuff, dominated the last couple of years in the minors. This year ran into a lot of control issues in AAA. Was averaging 7 walks a start, or per 9 innings, sorry. So really just struggling. But, you know, he came up, faced the Phillies, struck out everybody in the first inning, gave up a home run to Bryce Harper, made it through 3 1/3. He looked good. Bunch of strikeouts, was getting, you know, big league hitters out. They had him on a pretty short pitch count, so he didn't get to go deep in the game, but, you know, as the season goes on, they might be looking for him to eat a few more innings. But he's, you know, kind of like every other pitcher that comes up right now. He has not stretched out too much, so if they get 5 or 6 out of him, it might be a pretty special day.
Yeah, Kyle Harrison's a guy that moved pretty quickly through the system. So his first Bowman Chrome auto was in 2023. Bowman, it just came out not long ago at all. $45, so not bad. You know, other than that, my only other thoughts are, he's a pitcher, and he looked all right. So, you know, we'll see how he continues to develop. But going from first Bowman to call up within 6 months, you know, we kind of already know what's going on there. So I don't think you'll see a lot of ebbs and flows in that card. You maybe buy a couple on the cheap. He throws a no hitter or something like that down the line. There you go. But yeah, there you go. He's a pitcher.
I mean, he might be an ace in 2 or 3 years, you know, with Logan Webb, but you know, he could also bust out because he's a pitcher. So, you know, at your own risk there.
The hobby does love a lefty ace, does it not?
Oh, I mean, there's something sexy about it, you know?
Yeah. I feel like you get a little more love throwing from that side of the hill.
Yeah. It used to be only Randy Johnson bringing the heat, and now it's, you know, every guy that comes up is throwing 96 and nasty slider and what else. So
what about your boy Dylan Cruz? Yeah,
I mean, he's up to Double A, you know, kind of hitting all the stops before, you know, I don't think they're going to call him up this year, but he could wind up in AAA to end the season. But he's just raking. You know, this is a guy maybe set some money aside when Bowman draft rolls around and, you know, grab something of his if you can. I mean, he's going to be up quickly. He's probably going to be in the running for Rookie of the Year. There's nothing to suggest that he won't live up to the hype. So just, you know, going to keep pumping that name. Hopefully you guys wind up with some cool cards down the line.
What spot was he picked in the draft?
He went 2.
So I think he's going to get held out and put into regular Bowman.
Then. Okay, that would be cool too. More time to save up.
So I think that's the way. And I might sound really stupid right now if I'm wrong, but I think that your number one pick goes in draft.
Okay.
Because Jackson Holliday was a number 2 pick, right?
Right.
So yeah, I forget how it goes. No, but in either case,
was 1 and Drew Jones was 2. So that's
there you go. So Dylan Cruz is going to be in 2024 Bowman.
Okay.
He will not be in draft. Nice. He will not be in draft. So you're going to have to wait, bro. Oh, wait it out.
I'm going to start a little fund on the side just to get one of those first autos or a nice color card. I mean,
you got to spring of next year. So there you go. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Don't even have to ask Santa Claus.
Yeah, it's interesting that they always do that, but I know that's the recipe, and that's kind of why I always say Bowman is a little bit of the draft and a little bit of the international, because they, you know, they hold guys out similar to, you know, Series 1, Series 2, et cetera. So,
totally. You gotta make the product somehow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you gotta drive the hype, and they, you know, they're intuitive enough to know that, you know, there's guys like us that aren't just going to buy the shit unless they've got, you know, something in there to buy. My only thoughts on Dylan Cruz, guy's got a 70-grade hit tool, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy hits, bro.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's hit. He's shown that he hits for power. He has amazing plate discipline. Going back and watching a fair bit of the strikeout videos he's had and outs he's made, it's all – or I shouldn't say all. A lot of them are just bad calls by the umpires, you know, stuff that's maybe out of the zone that gets called a strike. You know, the dude's going to be special, especially, you know, with those Nats prospects coming up, Brady House, James Wood. You know, that's going to be a pretty formidable lineup in the next couple of years, and – we'll see where he goes.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. He looks legit to me.
Oh yeah. So, want to do a little player comp here and just kind of put out some food for thought. So, before we divulge the name of the next guy, player A here is 21 years old. He's a center fielder in Double A, hitting .280, 13 home runs, 23 steals, and an .865 OPS.
Solid.
You know, very good. He may be a top 10 prospect. Player B, he's 20 years old until next season. Center field, Double A, hitting .258 for the year after a pretty bad April. 15 homers, 37 steals, and a .787 OPS. And he just got bumped up to Triple A. So player A is Evan Carter, consensus top 10 pick, you know, on most prospect lists for the Texas Rangers. Player B, the poster boy for prospect fatigue, Jason Dominguez. Like I said, he just got called up to AAA, and those are his stats. The last month, the guy's hitting .368 with a 1,000 OPS. He's still got those tools. You know, God forbid he's not Mickey Mantle, Mike Trout, but he's got power, speed, plays a great center field. The reality is he's knocking on the door. I mean, he had 3 hits in his first AAA game. The Yankees are, you know, going to be needing to make some changes in the offseason. So you saw how quickly they handed over to Volpe this last season. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Dominguez, you know, in the opening day lineup, if not by May of next season. So it might be time to start looking at Dominguez cards again.
Yes. You know, Dominguez, he's got the switch hitter vibe. He seems to be a lot better from the left side. he really just hasn't done anything to get super excited about. Like you said, I mean, you know, aside from the Mickey Mantle comps, they're calling the kid the Martian. You know, he's been in the minors for a while. And like you said, there's a lot of fatigue on that because, you know, similarly, Mason Wynn came up in 2020.
Right.
Jordan Walker came in 2020. Kyle Harrison came 15 minutes ago. A lot of these guys, you know, they'll move through the system pretty quickly. And you have to imagine if he was cranking 35 home runs at every level, he'd be in the bigs right now because the Yankees are not going to hesitate. I mean, look at Cabrera, look at Pereira. They got everybody up there that, you know, as soon as they can get there. It's got probably about a 30 home run ceiling, I think. It's just about where he kind of tops out, which isn't spectacular.
If it all comes together, you know, if it could be a 30-30 player, you know, in the biggest media market in the world. So, you know, that built-in, you know, Yankees buzz could help. You know, I tend to think, you know, once he gets the call-up, you're going to see a lot of Yankees fans excited. You're going to be – I mean, I don't think anybody's going to be selling a one-of-one for seven figures. But at the same time, you know, there will be some buzz on his cards again, and it'll probably be more in line with, you know, what it should be and not the 2020 pricing. But I don't know, an interesting guy to keep an eye on, see how he finishes AAA, and then even just to kind of watch next spring and see what they do with him.
So it's funny trying to shop for Jason Dominguez cards now because they're all graded, bro. You can't find raw ones. Every single thing's in a BGS slab, PSA slab, and it's just – it's really, really, it was the hardest time I ever had finding a first Bowman Chrome Auto comp. I try to give one for just about every guy we talk about. You find a raw one, you let me know. Especially for just a base. I mean, it was tricky. So I don't know if a lot of this stuff is locked up in collections and people are really holding, because people that spent money on Dominguez spent big boy money on Dominguez. I mean, we're talking Dominguez, like COVID stimulus check money.
Yeah,
it was nuts. So the best I could find for you was a BGS 9.5 of his base first Bowman Chrome Auto for $450.
Wow. Still pretty high. I mean, I was looking the other day just at his Sapphires too, trying to find one raw, and I couldn't find one for under $80-$90. I mean, like you said, everything's graded up, you know, kind of that junk slab era joke, but you know, wouldn't mind if I can come across one raw, wouldn't mind having one just to see where it goes in a year.
Yeah, just in case you guys weren't around, in 2020, PSA had to just shut down to no longer accept grading submissions because they had too many cards and people were waiting 18 months, 19 months for bulk subs and stuff like that. I'm over here getting itchy after 3 or 4 weeks, but you know, back in the day, they shut down for a length of time. They were not accepting cards, and then they hiked the price up like 5x what it normally is just to get people to stop subbing so many cards, and they still wouldn't stop subbing the damn cards. So, you know, there's a lot of cards that do not belong in slabs out there. Don't get me started on junk slabs.
I mean, you can blame the ESPN articles, you know, praising him as the next thing and every other write-up that he had to deal with, but he might be the most overhyped guy, but he still might be a decent big leaguer at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think he's going to be all right is kind of what I think. I think maybe like a Bobby Abreu type of guy or something like that.
And he went on to have a great career, and you know.
Yeah. I'd love to have a Bobby Abreu on my team right now. We could use like 3 or 4 of them, but he's not going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's not going to, you know, your wife and kids aren't going to know who he is. You know what I mean?
He's not Julio.
No, nor will he ever be.
So wanted to touch on some power hitters of note as well. You know, usually chicks dig the long ball. Chicks dig the prices on the cards of the guys that hit the long ball. So here's a few names. First name came over actually from the Padres system in the Yu Darvish trade, and that's Owen Casey. This guy is in AA right now. He's got a 70 grade power. For his 90% exit velo, he's hitting the ball 113 miles an hour. His peak right now, 117. He is absolutely raking. He's still learning to hit the off-speed stuff like everybody else, you know, at that level. So his career K rate's about 34%, but he's got about 22 bombs this year. He's looking like he can be, you know, everyday outfielder for the Cubs in about 2 years, just absolutely raking bombs out of Wrigley.
So, yeah, I saw his career K rate at 34, but I saw – so this year in 381 at-bats – 150Ks, some like 39% or something like that. I hesitate to give him too much love because he's on the Cubs. I reserve my right to be a homer on this podcast and any future podcast. But other than that, I mean, the kids, when he hits the wall, it goes a country mile. So, and we all know Wrigley's not a tough place to hit home runs depending on how the wind's blowing. Exactly. So with that, you know, Chicago Cubs, one of those hobby darling teams, kind of like you talked about with the Yankees. If he gets called up on the Cubs and he hits 30 home runs next year, there are several million people across the country that are going to absolutely go nuts. So, you know, there's not a bad bet. Still young. Hopefully you can cut those Ks down.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the market for Matt Mervis, you know, kind of in that Bowman 2023 release. And, you know, right around the call-up, dude was, you know, hyped to the gills and, you know, the, kind of the darling of the product, but cooled off. So, I mean, Casey's another guy that's going to get that national media attention, like you said. You know, in an era where guys like Kyle Schwarber and Joey Gallo are acceptable, I mean, he's gonna put the bombs out. He could have a regular big league job and still only hit 200.
Joey Gallo's an excellent comp.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I see. And, you know, it'll be fun for the Cubs if they get a guy like that with that win going on.
Yeah, like I said, I'll take Bobby Abreu. I'm cool without Joey Gallo on my team. There's too many runners on second and third with two outs in the bottom of the eighth. And there's a whiff.
Well, exactly. Give me the guy that can make contact and at least, you know, give me a chance other than the three outcomes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So next guy actually just got called up today, Sunday morning. That's Hunter Goodman for the Colorado Rockies. So he was a fourth round pick back in 2021 as a catcher. Last year, hit 36 home runs across three levels. As of yesterday, 34 home runs in AA and AAA. Dude got promoted 2 weeks ago, played about 15 games in AAA, hit 9 home runs. So he's loving that thin Colorado air. He got a 24% K rate, 10% walk rate. Good numbers, you know, kind of an out-of-nowhere fourth-round pick that's got amazing power right now. He, like I said, he was drafted as a catcher, but they're going to get his bat in the lineup at first base, at outfield, a designated hitter. Point being, he's going to be fun. He's going to be real fun at Coors Field, and he might be putting up some power numbers pretty fast. Oh, TJ, you're so quiet.
You know me, TJ muted up. So he is 23 if there's a knock on him. And again, you know, like I talked about earlier, I hesitate to call a 23-year-old old. So I think that that's probably, you know, a pretty appropriate development path. I'm assuming he was coming, you know, came from the draft. So, I mean, if he's going to hit like that in Colorado, there's really no – I mean, you're talking about a guy that could put 40 of them in the seats in the course of a year. There's really not a whole lot going on in Colorado, so I'm sure he's going to get plenty of time to play and develop and kind of learn on the job. So we'll see what he looks like. But yeah, I'm not opposed to Hunter Goodman at all.
Yeah, and I don't know if you found any prices on him, but I was looking the other day, and it's a relatively low investment right now. I mean, it might have spiked up a little bit today with the call-up, but during the week it was pretty affordable on the first.
I did not pull up Hunter Goodman, but I will say, just generally speaking, the 2021 Bowman product was trash. And so, you know, a majority of those guys you can pick up on the cheap. And to go a step further, if you just wanted to gamble and have fun a little bit, you could grab some of that wax for, you know, probably below what it was when it released.
Oh, absolutely.
In terms of price, because 2021 was brutal, man. It was rough. I think Austin Martin was like the main chase guy in that product. So that was rough.
Yeah. Good for Bobby for selling what he did.
Yes. Brilliant. Brilliant.
So the last guy we want to kind of highlight here is a first baseman in the Texas Rangers organization. His name's Abimelech Ortiz. You might hear him called Abby Ortiz. Big power hitting guy. Got drafted or undrafted free agent, I should say. They signed him out of junior college. He is a guy this year is putting up a 180 WRC plus, easy 60 grade power, 50% hard hit rate, 30 home runs so far this season. You know, he's not a super impressive athlete by any means. I mean, he's a big boy that hits the ball hard and far. So he's, you know, first base, left field, DH in the future. I mean, the downside is he's like a lefty power bat. Upside, he could be a starter with 30 plus home runs, especially in that loaded Texas lineup.
Yeah, the kid's mashing, man. I mean, I just pulled up his numbers really quickly, and yeah, 116 Ks through 354 at bats. You know, that doesn't startle me, I wouldn't say, but when you've got 30 home runs to go along with that, and you know, we talk about places where you can hit some home runs. How about Texas, right? I mean, the Great American Bandbox.
Oh yeah, I mean, with, you know, and then with Young and Garcia and Langford and Evan Carter, all those guys hitting around you. You know, he could see some pitches to hit as well. So he's a guy to keep an eye on. He doesn't have a first yet, so hopefully he's added on to the checklist. You know, for Bowman Chrome. If not, I bet we'll see him next year for sure.
Definitely explains why I can't find any price on him.
Absolutely nothing. Not even like a Panini card out there to snatch up.
Just nothing to have fun with. Huh? Nothing. All right, Abby.
Nothing yet.
See him Bowman Chrome, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it might be a fun one.
So, tool time, safety guideline time for the week. Philly, what do you think?
I think so. Do you want to get nerdy with it for a minute?
So I'm going to, I mean, this is definitely going to be your time to shine. So every week we try to talk about a little piece of advice or just knowledge or whatever you want to call it. We're not smarter than anybody else. But just to kind of help you collect or follow prospects in a little bit more of a informed way, other than just looking at a top 100 prospect list or listening to what somebody says, and you can kind of go out and do your homework, which is ultimately really, you know, the best course of action. We have a lot of information available to us. You know, you got your tool rankings and everything else. And then, you know, there's always hits, RBI, home runs, stolen bases, you know, the traditional baseball stats. And that's really, you know, I'm kind of old school. Like, that's where I live, right? I'll look at an average, a slugging percentage, your strikeout rate, and maybe that's just about all I feel like I need to know about you. But there are a ton of other crazy stats available. And, I'm not even sure I understand what half of them mean. So I'll run through a list of them. And Philly, the advanced stats guy, maybe you can tell me what some of these things mean and what they, you know, how they function in the game and how they kind of relate to performance on the field. What do you
Absolutely.
Think?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I don't pretend to have a degree in calculus or advanced mathematics either. I was looking at some of the formulas for these last night and way beyond me, man. I mean, I'm just a chef. I am not a professor. So some of these I'm going to do my best to explain, but more so just give some context to how they relate.
All right. So what the hell is WRC plus?
Yeah. So that's weighted runs created plus. It's a way to quantify run creation that also accounts for park factors and era. That way you can kind of compare players across eras in different situations. So for example, we all know that Coors is a hitter's park. But that plays a lot differently than like the park in Oakland. So you might have the same stats, the same player at those two parks, but it's going to be a lot more valuable at a park like Oakland, where it's not a hitter's paradise because it shows the players actually doing more in a more challenging environment. So in terms of numbers, you know, a WRC plus of 100 is a league average player. And that's a guy like Anthony Rizzo. You know, kind of like a plug and play, can be a starter, but not exactly gonna like win you many games or, you know, make an all-star team, but they're also not, you know, destined to go back to the minors. So like right now the leader is this guy you may have heard of, Shohei Ohtani. He's at 181. Mm-hmm. So, you know, leaps and bounds, you know, one of the best. And to no surprise, the guys right behind him, you know, Acuna, Betts, Freeman, you know, all the names you keep hearing in the MVP races. So this is something, you know, like we talked about with Abimelech Ortiz just a minute ago, it shows that he does contribute to the offense. You know, kind of to what you said, I think the traditional stats carry a lot of weight in the hobby world, but these stats are really a good way to kind of look through the numbers and identify like this guy's going to contribute at a big league level. This guy can actually, you know, produce in a number of ways.
Which ultimately translates to the hobby, exactly. Right? I mean, so this is it's a great way to look at the prospects, right? And see which ones are going to turn into baseball
exactly.
players.
Exactly. Right? I mean, you know, you get a good feel for how they contribute. And, you know, I mean, some guys are maybe just kind of a product of the guy behind them and score a lot of runs just because they get on base and situations can change. But, you know, it's a good system, like I said, for comparing, you know, different situations.
All right. All right. So I got another one for you. WOBA or WOBA, as I've heard it referred to as.
Yeah, I mean, I heard Tony Montana dropping that one earlier. I don't know what's going on there. That's
crazy. A little bit of that Bolivian marching powder.
Oh, man, that must be what it is. So that's weighted on base average. You know, everybody's familiar with, you know, on base percentage. That just tells how many times in a plate appearance you get on the base. So this gives a little more context to how you get on to base. Whereas, you know, a home run is worth more than a walk, is worth more than a double, a single. So it gives a better indicator of how you're performing to get on base. So right now, yeah, Shohei is at a 437. You know, one of the lower guys, kind of bottom of the barrel for regulars, Javier Baez at a 260. You know, and for example, he only has 25 extra base hits, 19 walks, and 464 plate appearances. So pretty terrible. I mean, you can use your eyes to see that Javier Baez is not a great player right now. Maybe since he left the Cubs. But, you know, stats like this just definitely lend a little bit more, you know, analysis to say, like, this is why, this is what's going on. Guy doesn't walk, barely hits for extra bases. Yeah, pretty miserable.
Yeah, it doesn't look great. All right, that breaks that down pretty well. Here's one I do understand, but I think there's some nuance to it. So exit velo, exit velocity.
Absolutely. So, you know, definitely something that, you know, in the StatCast era since 2015, we see on all the broadcasts, all the home run derbies, everybody obsesses over and, you know, how hard did Ellie hit the ball today? So basically, it boils down to the harder it's hit, the higher probability it's going to be a hit. On balls in 2020, 110 miles per hour, 60% of the time they were a hit. So that's telling you, you know, yeah, you hit line drives, you hit them right in the nose, you get that 60% of the time it's going to land somewhere and have a positive result. So kind of with the nuance you're talking about, one stat you might hear on podcasts or even we use it every once in a while is 90th percentile. So that's talking about, you know, the top 90th percentile of velocities for a batter. You know, it's not their hardest hit, but it's their harder hit balls. So the league average for 90th percent velocity in 2022 was 103.7. Right now, you're looking at Ellie De La Cruz having 108 mile per hour 90th percentile. So fairly well above league average and almost averaging right at that 110 marker where they talk about 60% of the time the ball is hit, it's going to land for a hit. So when you hit the ball,
which is what's carrying him right now.
Yeah, you hit the ball that hard, you make contact, you can kind of forgive some of the strikeouts and say, well, he's going to beat the shit out of the ball. It's going to land anyway. So you're going to see things higher, like batting average, ball in play. And, you know, as long as they're hitting the ball hard, those numbers are going to stay up.
Okay. Now that makes sense. And that, yeah, we start talking about 90th percentile. I've said it 100 times. I'll say it again. I'm not a math guy. That's just not. That's not what I do. So you start talking about that kind of stuff and inherently I kind of tune out a little bit. You know what I mean? So it's nice for, a layman's breakdown. I like that. All right. Here's another one again that I feel like I had a general knowledge about, but a little bit of nuance to it too. So what's a contact rate?
Yeah. So basically it's kind of hopefully as simple as it sounds. It's the rate, that the guy makes contact with the ball. So there's usually, depending on where you go, like Fangraphs, Baseball Prospectus, Baseball Savant, you're going to find variations in that. It's the pitches in the strike zone divided by the amount of swings. So in zone right now, your leader is Stephen Kwan. 95.7% of the time the ball comes into the strike zone and Stephen Kwan swings at it, he makes contact with it. So not a lot of...
That doesn't include foul balls, does it?
It does.
So okay. But still, fair enough, right?
Definitely, one of those who wants to keep track of all the foul balls, but hey, somebody's job, I guess. Kind of the reverse of that, there's also outside contact rate, you know, where a pitch is off the plate, shouldn't be swinging at it, but you do anyway. And right now the leader in that's Luis Arraez, and that's 91.3. So between Kwan and Arraez, you are talking about two guys, when they swing the bat, they're not missing a lot. I mean, one out of every 10 times they're going to miss 5% of the time for Kwan. I mean, that's good contact rates. It doesn't necessarily say that they're going to get a hit every time. You know, Arraez, we know, is hell of a hitter. Kwan had a great year last year, cooled a little bit this year, but they're going to put the ball in play. So not a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah, and I mean, Arias, like you say, you can use your eyes to see that that man can hit the ball. And that's kind of interesting, and it really correlates to, you know, just his batting average, because the last few years, nobody hits as much as Arias, man. I mean, he hits everything.
Well, exactly. And I mean, you can't have a high batting average without, you know, putting the bat on the ball. So, I mean, clearly, even out of the strike zone, he's doing that.
It's not very often you talk about guys potentially hitting 400. So here's the inverse of that, right? Chase rate?
Chase rate, yeah. You know, that's kind of one we talk about a lot with these minor league guys, you know, kind of an indicator of how they're going to succeed when they get called up. And that's swinging out pitches out of the strike zone. You know, really just learning that discipline, whether it's breaking balls, whether it's the high fastball, you know, right at the eyes. You know, it's kind of a telling stat for where a guy's at. Like we talked about with Noelvi Marte. I mean, he loves to swing the bat. He loves to swing at everything. And it can lead to a lot of strikeouts, too, when you have that high rate. So kind of a good indicator.
Going back to your boy Javi Baez, since we already started, you know, throwing shots, I'll go ahead and bury him. So I saw this. Somebody made a little video. And you remember when 50 Cent did his first pitch and it was just – epically horrific. It was like way off to the left, wide left. And then there's, you know, so they stitch that where, you know, 50's on the mound and he throws this horrible pitch, but Javi Baez is in the dish and he takes a hack at it.
I mean, he probably thinks he can hit it out of the park anyway, so that wouldn't surprise me.
One must assume. So here's one that gets thrown around all the time, and I think it's, you know, I think everybody just assumes that everybody knows what it is, but what the hell is war.
I mean, I don't know. What is it good for, man? Absolutely nothing.
That's right.
So war, wins above replacement, provides a way to give value to context for players against the league averages for offense, fielding, and pitching. In other words, how much more valuable are you guys that, you know, you could call up from the minors tomorrow or sign as a free agent? There are two different metrics. Baseball Prospectus, you'll see labeled as B war. And then F-War is from Fangraphs. They both have slight variations in how they calculate. So Fangraphs, basically, it says that pitching matters a little bit more, 2% more in their formula. So again, like I said, I can't break down the formulas too well. This stuff's a little bit beyond me. But Fangraphs, you're going to get more emphasis on pitching. So kind of knowing what you're looking at is important there. Right now, some examples of like a zero war. You know, average player, talk about regulars, guys like Josh Donaldson, Cody Clemens, Tyler McGill, you know, they're fine to be in the major leagues. I mean, Josh Donaldson, arguably not, but, you know, even Tyler McGill's having his struggles. But right now, you know, again, that name, Shohei, you know, 8.7 war. And, you know, that comes from two spots. He's 2.3 as a pitcher. So still, you know, 2.5 wins better than a league average pitcher like Tyler McGill. 6.4 as a hitter. So almost 7 wins better than just, you know, an average Joe. So tremendous.
Do either of these take the defensive metrics into account? So all the, when I'm getting into these arguments with people about Yadi Molina, you know,
they
what
do,
I mean?
Yeah.
Pitch framing and, you know, things of that nature.
They do. They do factor in fielding. To what extent, you know, I'm not sure, but it gives a guy like J-Rod a boost, even though, say, like his batting average wasn't super high until his hot streak, because he plays such an elite center field, saves a lot of runs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shohei, if he played left field and was throwing guys out and making some catches, he'd probably be close to a, you know, a 10 war by now. The fact that he's DHing and pitching, you know, and putting up those numbers is still astounding, but if he was playing a position, it'd add even more value. So, like,
I wouldn't put it past the Angels to put his ass in the field on top of everything else they make him do.
Who knows what they're going to do next, you know?
He blew out his elbow just dragging his team along behind him.
And then trying to save their ass in every press conference now and putting it on Shohei's people. So, I don't know. It's a sad situation there. But, you know, bottom line, Shohei's number one in war right now. Playing two positions will do that. You know, but again, it's the guys, you know, we talked about earlier, Acuna, Freeman, Betts right behind him, you know, that value in the field, the value, you know, stealing bases, it all adds up.
I think that there are probably some other advanced metrics and stats that you can look at. I'm sure there's no shortage of them, but those are, I think, a good general snapshot of the ones that you can kind of focus on and digest because they're simple enough and they tell enough of a complete story about, you know, a player that you can get a decent idea of what you're looking
Absolutely. At. Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, again, don't ignore the traditional stats, especially when it comes to card collecting and, you know, flipping and selling. But, you know, these are going to be ways that you can look at sites and kind of identify, you know, guys that maybe people have missed and say, hey, look at this guy's chase rate. He's got incredible discipline and he's hitting too. So, yeah, just some tools to arm you with and hopefully you understand the numbers a little bit better.
Yeah, and if you're the type of guy that, you know, you were intelligent and patient and not a full degenerate and you didn't buy a whole bunch of Bowman stuff last year and now you're looking back at it, you can say things like, why would anybody in the world buy an Eric Hernandez card? And you know what I mean? And you wouldn't do such a thing as opposed to having, you know, multiples, even perhaps several dozen of them. But, you know, make smart decisions.
Hey, he's young, right? All these things, you know, they evolve and change, right?
Juan Soto comps. I'm just going to keep
I mean, I don't, maybe it's the part where Juan Soto is sleeping and not swinging a bat that he's getting compared to, but you know, that's a good comp.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. It's rough.
All right. So we're going to take a quick music break here. This is No Living Witness, a death metal band from Olympia, Washington. They play a lot of shows around the Northwest, a little bit in California. Check them out. Hope you like them. They are on Spotify if you dig what you hear. And when we come back, we are going to have a special guest helping us out with the next segment.
Ooh, some death metal and a special guest. Let's get it.
It must be my birthday. All right, well, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed the tunes right there. That was No Living Witness from Olympia, Washington. Some pretty crunchy tech death metal. So now we're going to move on. And, you know, it's list season for all the baseball outlets. You know, everybody's doing their midseason updates. We thought we'd do it a little differently here and do a prospect draft, kind of give some context to everything and analyze some positions a little bit. It wouldn't be fair if it was just me and TJ. It'd be kind of easy. So we invited a special guest this week. You may know him from the EFIS podcast, Robert fucking Baseball.
Oh, there it is. There's the F-bomb. Yeah, what's up, guys? Bobby Baseball here. Thanks for having me. Thank you guys for doing this. I love listening to this pod, so I'm super excited that you guys started this, and it's awesome. Just phenomenal. Thanks for having me for this draft. It was really fun to do, and I'm looking forward to talking about our picks here.
Hey, what up, Bobby Bowman, Bobby Caminero? Good to see you, my man. I usually see you next Saturday, so that's what's up, man. It's good to be here with you.
Yeah, today the F's for football. We're recording on Saturday, this part at least, on Saturday the 26th, so I got my SC jersey on, my Troy Polamalu gear. We're going to whoop up on San Jose State later today. So very excited.
Got to hit those directional schools. Got to hit those directional schools.
Yeah.
You got any Caleb Williams cards yet?
No, not yet. Not yet. I'm trying to get out of the football game. I don't have too many cards, but just I think we talked about just talking about focusing on baseball, and that's what's funding some of my recent buys. So I just can't distract myself. So
what do you say, Philly? Yeah. What do we do, Philly? How was that draft?
It was a great draft. I mean, there's definitely some things that stand out, you know, some positions that are a little weaker than others. I think we saw that, you know, first base, there's no real standouts. Catcher, you know, there's some good prospects. There's Ethan Salas at the top, of course. And then from there, it kind of starts turning into guys that may not be catchers in 2 years.
Especially when the guys ahead of you in the draft start taking multiple catchers before you get a chance to even pull one off the board. But we'll get into that.
Kind of a brilliant strategy there by one Bobby F. Baseball. And then, you know, pitching, it's kind of a crapshoot as always. You know, I think in terms of strategy, we're all kind of happy to wait. You grabbed, you know, probably the big horse right at the beginning there, and then we kind of fell in line later on and got some guys. But, you know, they're all crapshoots. So should we review it real quick?
I think we should. I think we got to get into it. I had a good time doing this, and it's fun because it's kind of a nice way to make you look at some people that maybe you didn't look at before. So. No, I had a good time with it.
Absolutely.
Should we just like how do you want to do it? Do you want to announce the picks, or should we go around and announce our own picks and say?
I think we should announce our own picks.
All right,
Bobby, we had you going first overall. So who'd you go for?
Yeah, so first overall, this didn't have to think really hard here. Jackson Holliday, dude's legit. I mean, I did this. For full disclosure, as if I were drafting a real baseball team and I had to take the field against you guys. So I just really, and you'll see this in some future picks, I wanted to solidify that middle infield and that up the middle defense. So Jackson Holliday, and I think if you were going on hobby value, he'd probably be number one as well. So yeah, Jackson Holliday, shortstop, number one overall.
Congratulations, Mr. Holliday.
Number two overall, I'm just going to say Junior Caminero and pass the mic back to Philly. There was really no doubt at any point in time.
Yeah, if anybody out there was surprised, then clearly this is your first episode with us. So go back and listen for all the love.
I don't even know what position he's listed at. I'm just taking him.
I mean, who knows? He could be a DH, and you still want him in the lineup for that bat. So it doesn't even matter. Let's see, with my first pick, went with Jackson Churio. You know, dude's looking like he's going to be a franchise center fielder. Five tools across the board. He's just crushing it in double A. You know, maybe they give him a little end of season bump to triple A, test him out. But chances are he's probably up next year at some point anyway. And then kind of we did it snake draft style. My next pick was Dylan Cruz. Here's a guy, you know, lit up college for 3 years. This last year, just absolutely dominated. And then when he got to A-ball, for whatever reason, the Nationals sent him there, he absolutely crushed it. He's in double-A now, too, smoking it as well. So probably those two guys, good bet to be in the Rookie of the Year race next year.
And then coming up next, I had really no choice but to just try to grab the best prospect. I was in a position to kind of have two top five guys on my roster. So I grabbed James Wood, real easy pick. Legit five-tool talent. I think he's either number three or number four prospect in baseball right now. So I'm excited to slot him in the outfield and see what he looks like. I think in about 2 years, he's going to be really, really hyped about, if not in 2024. So I'm excited for Wood.
And I'm just pretending that James Wood doesn't exist and that he was never a Padre, because by the time James Wood is making his major league debut, it's going to be devastating if Juan Soto isn't a Padre and James Wood is like runaway Rookie of the Year candidate. Oh my God, shoot me. but yeah, anyways,
450-foot home runs might make you
Holy crap. Maybe CJ Abrams will be a respectable player by then. I think right now he's still pretty much replacement level, but you never know. So yeah, then it came back around to me, and like I said, drafting as if this was a real MLB team. So this is maybe where it started to go a little bit different than just your standard prospect rankings. So first I took catcher Ethan Salas. I mean, that's kind of in line with hobby stuff and, you know, just the general you know, Baseball America and other list rankings, but I just wanted a catcher. Like we said, it's a light position. And then here's where I went, I think, a little bit off the board, but Pete Crow Armstrong with my third pick. So, I mean, dude's got 80 grade fielding. He's fast. I think, you know, I just want a center fielder. Like, when I build my team, I want defense. And I mean, an example is I value guys like Trent Grisham on the Padres. Like, I know he's not much of a hitter, but that gold glove defense out there means a lot. So, and I think Pete Crow Armstrong is going to rake as well. So just pesky hitter at the top of the order. So that was my third pick. And then it kicked back to TJ. And TJ's muted.
I like to mute myself so you guys don't hear me over here crying silently. But I would like to stay with that, you know, San Diego Padres theme I've got going on there. And I like Jackson Merrill, shortstop, probably one of the more exciting shortstop prospects that still is in the minors. And I think I'm expecting big things from him. Nice bat, good plate discipline. And I think that, you know, given the state of affairs in the Padres system, he's either going to be on a major league roster next year in San Diego or maybe get dealt away and be somewhere else.
I'm really curious about that, man. I'm just really curious because he could be really good, but it's like they've got a logjam. Like, they signed Cronenworth to that long deal. They've got Bogarts, obviously a deal you wish you hadn't made. Right. They've got Manny.
You got Kim.
That was the big thing. And Ha-Sung Kim's a free agent, and they can't lose him. He's been he's been one of their best players. So he's been better than, I mean, if they did not have Bogarts and they had Kim at shortstop, they would be better off than what they were this year. So I don't know. I'm going to be really sad if they lose Ha-Sung Kim, but we'll see.
It seems like something's got to change there, you know, before
the season. I don't know what the move is. I don't know what the move is, but something.
All right.
Something that isn't signing somebody else to a $500 million contract, unless it's Joe.
Yeah. But that's what you do.
I mean, that's the name of the game for the Padres, and then deal the prospects. I mean, you dealt Abrams, and you got another shortstop right behind you now. So
yeah.
All right, so it's back to me. For my shortstop, I took Colson Montgomery from the White Sox. I kind of feel, looking back at it, my draft strategy was to kind of look at guys that maybe have a lot more upside but are still developing, or, you know, maybe had a little injury history. And that's Montgomery. He missed the first half of the year. You know, he's come back, and he's still posting those, you know, positive walk rates. First half of the season, like I said, he was hurt, but OPS over 800 at AA, more walks and strikeouts this year. Dude gets a lot of Corey Seager comps. And, you know, this is a system of the White Sox. Nobody's blocking anybody. I mean, when he's ready, he's going to get the chance to play. Great hitter right out of the box. So big tools there. And then for catcher, this one's kind of an interesting one. Talk about a couple of years down the road. Samuel Basayo, he's an Orioles prospect, 18 years old in high A. The dude, his exit velos are going up to 112 miles per hour. At 18 years old, he's hitting the ball hard. You know, he's big, 6'1", 240-pound dude, so tons of power in there. He's getting better behind the dish, but there's a good chance he moves to first because there's a guy by the name of Adley Rutschman at catcher. But, you know, with John Angelos this week talking about how they can't afford to keep anybody and the extensions aren't going to happen unless they, you know, raise ticket prices, you know, exponentially. This could be a guy that sneaks in at catcher if they have to move on from Adley at some point.
Yeah.
You hate to hear that so early in that, right? I mean, they got all these kids and everything's just kind of starting to develop and they're like, whoa, let's start tempering those expectations.
Exactly. I mean, another version of Tampa Bay, I mean, I guess would work, you know, if they want to keep to a budget and keep developing guys. But at the same time, you'd like to think some of the fans can have some guys there long term.
What are you going to say, Bobby?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I've never actually heard of this guy. I just looked at the numbers. He's pretty impressive. Does he have any cards yet?
He doesn't. Definitely somebody hoping to see in Bowman Chrome once that checklist pops. If not, you know, it might be might be draft or even next year, but yeah, he's going to shoot up the ranks a little bit. I mean, the O's keep developing him. They keep finding him, you know, in the draft and international. And he's an international guy that they really hit big on so far.
Yeah, I mean, 70 grade raw power, and he's, you know, 18 in high A, and the walk rates and the strikeout rates look pretty acceptable. It's a similar story. Yeah, it's a similar story to Caminero. When he moved up, it looks like both his walk rate and his K rate improved. So
yeah, cool. He's got, you know, huge upside, and he's just kind of starting to crack onto a lot of lists, and people are taking notice. And like I said, if he ends up at first base, you know, you've got a tremendous power bat. If he winds up behind catcher, you've got a power hitting catcher that, you know, can push 30 home runs.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. All right. Well, I decided, so my strategy was a little more, you know, guys I think we'll see in the next 1 to 2 years. I kind of want, and it's kind of in line with my Bowman strategy. You know, I got guys that, you know, obviously they're going to be future flips, but I'm not trying to wait 4 years on a lot of these guys. So I decided to kind of zig where others zag, and I grabbed the first pitcher off the board, Paul Skenes, a.k.a. Paul Skenes, a.k.a., you know, whatever you want to call him.
Be done.
Yeah, that's good enough. But I think he's going to be in the bigs here sooner than later, and he's also the top pitching prospect in the game. So pretty excited to see that.
And you stole my pick, because that's who I was taking too. I think to get a big ace, again, like building as if I were building a roster, I wanted that ace, and you sniped him. So nice pick there, TJ.
Thanks, Bobby.
So it came back around to me. I was feeling a little bit stuck because, again, I thought I was getting that big ace. So Skenes or whatever the hell his name is, and Wyatt Langford were going to be my picks. Instead, I went Wyatt Langford. So he was, I think he was maybe fourth or fifth overall in the draft, something like that. But yeah, right now having a lot of success at high A. I think it seems to me that they put him in there to get a quick win at the minor league level, because I believe he was a Florida Gator. So I think the competition he was facing is, I don't want to say it's a step down where he's at, but I don't know how challenged he is at that high A level based on looking at some of the numbers.
Probably equivalent to what he was facing. I mean, you know, in that top SEC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, SEC's pretty stacked. They play good baseball down there.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking. So, and he played left field for the Gators, and I believe that the Rangers are moving him over and giving him a shot at center, but probably a corner outfielder going forward. So my plan is to put him into left field and have a good athlete over there at left field next to my boy Pete Crow Armstrong. So Wyatt Langford. Then I felt a little stuck, and you'll see from there. I said, all right, what the hell? I can't draft. I wanted a second baseman at this point. And I said, all right, I'm not happy with the second baseman that are on the board. I'm going to take another outfielder and take a flyer on Drew Jones. Go ahead. What'd you say?
I said, I wanted Drew Jones though, man.
I know. I didn't realize that. I thought this was a dumb pick. But I like Drew Jones. I mean, he's so young. You never know what's going to happen. So I said, all right, whatever. Worst case, I'm getting an athlete in the outfield. And I'll put Drew Jones in right field. So I took Drew Jones here. And yeah, more on that to come very soon.
That's a solid pick with some upside. So I started trying to fill out my infield a little bit. I like Brady House with the Nats. Chicks dig the long ball, right? So I thought that was a pretty easy pickup right there. You know, guy you can plug in and kind of fattens up that lineup a little bit. So. And another big top prospect. I was excited to get Brady House this late. Shame on both of you.
Yeah, I mean, that lineup's going to put up some numbers in a couple of years when, you know, Cruz, Wood, and House are all in sync together. I mean, that could be a pretty dangerous 3-4-5.
Yeah, they're going to be really good when they re-sign Juan Soto, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, can't win them all. So with my next pick, you know, I really wanted Drew Jones, so I picked somebody near and dear to Bobby's heart, and that's Adele Amador. And I figured maybe I'll dangle him out there. Bobby, what do you think? Can we do a little trade?
Yeah, immediate trade when Philly said he was going to play him at second base. I was like, what the hell? He's a shortstop. I would have picked him at second base. And then we decided to revisit our rules that we never really discussed. And because it was listed as a position, we were like, all right, second base eligibility. So we did the swap.
There
you go. Adele Amador over to my squad. Drew Jones going back to Philly.
Nice. Yeah. And I mean, like you said on Drew Jones, the dude's an elite defender. You know, he's got the pedigree. He's just had a terrible year with injuries. You know, he probably needs a healthy full season next year to stick around prospect lists. Otherwise, people are probably going to be out on him. But, you know, hobby hype and, you know, real baseball hype. He's got huge potential. Just needs to show it a little bit. He did his first home run this week, so he's off the stride a little bit.
So back to me. Grab another outfielder. I like Max Clark, a kid with 4+ tools. One of them is his hit tool, which is at 60 grade. I like that. Lots of potential in a kid that's just really, I mean, all he does is hit.
Did we skip one of Philly's picks?
You did. I mean,
we did that in real life, too.
We did. Exactly. Life imitating art here.
Oh, well, Philly, I'll let you have yours back then if you want to go grab anybody.
All right. I'm gonna go for my ace. That's Dylan Lesko of the Padres. He was their first-round pick last year. He had Tommy John. He's already back on the bump, though. Dude's got the best changeup in the minors. Routinely hits 95 to 97 with the fastball. Really has like 4+ pitches he's dealing with, great command. He just got the bump up to high A, you know, in that big aggressive Padres promotion we talked about earlier. Didn't do too well in his first start, but, you know, the upside's there to be a number one, number two, alongside Robbie Snelling sometime in the future for the Padres. So that's my ace. Back to you, TJ.
Well, since I already made my pick, I guess it's two to Bobby then, isn't it?
No, I guess it's to Bobby. You're still sticking with Max Clark.
Max
Clark. Yeah, I'll stick with Max Clark.
Love the Dylan Lesko pick. Love the Dylan Lesko pick. And just shout to his Bowman Chrome Sapphire card, or maybe it was Bowman Draft Sapphire, but I think I got his first for like $3.
Wow.
So not a bad look. That was a couple months ago, but I mean, I don't think there's much hype around a lot of these pitchers. But Amador, I was happy to add, you know, just to give him a little shout. Switch hitting middle infielder, may move to second base in real life anyway. I flipped him over to second. He's got a higher walk rate than strikeout rate. He's got a little bit of power, but he's pretty much out for the rest of the season with surgery on the hamate bone. So even if he comes back this year, I don't think we're going to see much from him until next year. But yeah, so then I had two picks, and this is where I decided to start getting really wild. So already had a catcher, but took my boy Jefferson Cairo, another catcher. I'm going to slot him in at DH, and I am going to switch him and Ethan Salas on a daily basis, and I'm going to prolong their careers and only have them catching every other day. It's going to allow them to spend more time in the cages hitting as well. That's my move with Cairo. Yeah, you guys know that I love Jefferson Cairo. If you look at the numbers, I mean, he's one of the best defensive catchers in the minor leagues. That was kind of his calling card prior to this year. But I mean, if you look at the numbers, he's really picked it up with the bat this year. He's 20 and he's in Double A and he's got 14 bombs. He's got a 10% walk rate, 17% K rate, and he's got an 800 OPS. So maybe he's got a bat too. And then also I picked up Kobe Mayo. Really like Kobe Mayo. He's kind of a third baseman who may move to the outfield, who may move to first base. So I didn't really know what position I was going to play him at when I drafted him. I knew I could move him around. But he ended up slotting in at first base for me. So I just like the big bat. Not a lot of big first basemen out there as we talked about. So I think some of these other positions, it's almost like your first basemen are the big bats that kind of fail elsewhere at other positions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same thing with like second base, you know, maybe shortstops who have to move over kind of thing. Kobe Mayo, I'm really looking forward to him getting a call to the majors at some point. I hope dude is just absolutely crushing the ball. He got called up to AAA. Yeah, he's just dominating at AA. He got called up to AAA about a month ago and is not seeing the same level of success adapting to the pitching, but I don't think he's too far off from a call to the majors. So, yeah, Kobe.
Yeah, and just to kind of go back to that, I think you'll see a lot of times that your top prospects are listed at third base / shortstop or just outfield, right? And then they kind of, you know, settle into something else. So, you know, a lot of your second basemen, like you said, probably failed shortstops. And everybody, you know, if they're good, they try to play them at those tough, you know, key defensive positions and see if they'll stick first. So if you're keeping score at home, a couple things. First of all, why? Second of all, you'll notice I'm the only person that doesn't have a catcher yet. Bobby's got two. Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate you. So I went ahead and decided now was the time to grab one. So I grabbed Harry Ford, you know, one, because he's a, you know, is an exciting young kid. He's got some plus tools. He showed out in the WBC. And then two, just to kind of take a little bit of a shot at Philly. So, you know, that was my pick in that spot. Harry Ford, then we pass it off to Philly for two for some Mariners homers picks. I can only assume.
Well, I would have had more Mariners homers picks if you left me Harry Ford. I mean, the dude's only my PC after all. So, you know, 50 plus cards. I suppose I like him a little bit. So, yeah, for my pick, I'm going to go with Lazaro Montes. If you've listened to me on the pod or on the Discord, you know, this guy is my new man crush for the year. Cuban guy. Shot up to 6'4" in the offseason. Tremendous power. And he's absolutely destroying Modesto right now, for the Mariners A-ball team. His OPS is near 1,100. His high velocities on his home runs are hitting 118, 119. So he's got monster power. You know, people compare him to like a baby Yordan Alvarez. He's an average fielder, above average runner. He's not really going to be a stolen base threat, but, you know, he's got that 300 batting average, 30 home run upside. And, you know, goodness knows the Mariners are doing great, but they could still use some impact bats down the line. And then for my first baseman, going to Tampa Bay, you know, kind of the gem they uncovered this year, and that's Xavier Isaac. He's got an above average hit tool. Dude's big, bulky, tremendous power potential. Right now, he's only showing a chase rate at about 22%. So he's really showing a good understanding of the strike zone, picking his spots. He's got healthy walk rates, and he's shown that he can hit it to all fields. This is the guy that made Kyle Manzardo expendable. You know, they've got Diaz right now up at the big show, but, you know, like we said with Baltimore, Tampa might not be signing guys to extensions. They got that budget. Maybe they got a little more room after whatever happens with Wander. But, you know, Isaac's going to be a big-time pro. He could be a middle-order bat in about 3 years.
You got to feel like after you get burned once doing that, maybe you don't do it again, right?
Exactly.
I've seen them pass out a lot of money except for the one time.
They're already high enough, so, yeah.
Yeah, so to continue the theme of doubling up on catchers, I grabbed Dalton Rushing from the Dodgers. He also plays a first base. Big bat, really exciting kid, really excited about him. And you've heard what I've said about what I think about how the Dodgers develop guys. So pass it off to Bobby for two.
Yep, for two. Won't spend too much time talking about this guy because you all know who he is. I heard he had a pretty historic card sale a couple years ago. Jason Dominguez, again, not sure of pronunciation. Haven't ever watched this guy, the Martian, play ball, but I've heard quite a lot about him, so just decided to get on the hype train and get another athlete in my outfield. And then another guy that always kind of pops onto my radar when I'm looking at minor league prospects and I'm just applying filters to numbers, but Colt Keith, he's a second baseman / third baseman. He's going to play third base for my squad. He's in the Tigers system, really mashing it in his age 21 season at AA this year, and they moved him up to AAA. The numbers have dipped a little bit, but again, still over an 800 OPS at 21 in AAA. So I think we'll be seeing this guy in the majors pretty soon. Back to you, Tej.
All right. So I'm going to finish off. Well, not finish off, but plug in another outfielder and grab Jet Williams for my main man, Jesse, and all you other Mets degenerates in the Discord. Little 5'6" outfielder. But if you've been watching, lately, the kid's just playing like his hair's on fire, man. It's really, really fun to watch. So I'm going to take Jet Williams and stick him in the outfield.
Nice. Yeah, he's just a little spark plug, man. He's got something going on there.
That's right. And in Philly, I think you're up for two, my man. Yeah,
sure am. So my next two picks, definitely playing the upside card on last year's draft. First one, my second baseman, Tamar Johnson in the Pirates system. This is a guy that people said had a 70-grade hit tool coming into the draft. And this year, people are reassessing it and probably calling it a 40, right now at least. He could flex up a little bit. But what's really interesting is that he's showing 60 to 65-grade power. Just mashing home runs, absolute bombs, 430, 440 feet. He's got great bat speed, a great eye at the plate. You know, he plays a decent second base, so good enough to stick there. But, you know, you're dreaming on the power at this point and maybe hoping some of that, you know, luster of the hit tool comes back around. And then for third base, I'm taking the youngest player in last year's draft. That's Cam Collier. Right now, plays a great third base. His dad was a big leaguer. So he's got, you know, some great makeup and demeanor in the ballpark, great approach. But, you know, he's a little aggressive in his first season, already showing like a 33% chase rate, you know, maybe trying to prove a little bit of something. He is still, you know, 18 years old in A-ball, so not doing great. He has a 710 OPS. He's a little bit of ways away. He could repeat A-ball next year, at least to start the year, but still tools through the roof, could be a 280. You know, 30 homer guy at third base, and I'm sure the Reds will find room for him down the road.
So you definitely stole both of my picks with both of your picks, bastard. So I went ahead and went Jenkins and stick him in the DH. I like him. He's got 60 grade hit tool, 60 grade power, big bat, and just a big stud of a kid. So I'm selling out for a lineup here, just a murderer's row is what I'm trying to put together.
You're going to be scoring some runs, especially on me. I don't even have any pitchers yet. So I filled up my spots for bats, and just I can go a few more minutes to talk about my pitchers, but I won't be able to get to talk about who's left over if you guys do that. That's really interesting. Guys like Marcelo Mayer, he's only listed as a shortstop and just doesn't make the cut. So on anybody's roster, I thought that was interesting. But I went Andrew Painter. So he's a huge Phillies prospect, absolutely monster numbers. He's 6'7". He's recovering from Tommy John surgery right now. So hard to know what the future looks like for him. He's only 20, and he had been just absolutely dominant in the minors last year, spread across A, high A, and triple A, or A, high A, and double A. It didn't really matter what level he was at. He was just mowing people down if you look at those strikeout rates. Really excited about him. And then a little bit off the board with Bryce Eldridge, so two-way prospect, with the San Francisco Giants. I believe he has picked about the middle of the first round this year. They're having him focusing on hitting this year and kind of shut him down after he pitched all spring in high school ball. So yeah, Bryce Eldridge, really excited to get a two-way guy into the system and just kind of see what happens. Another guy without a card that might be a card I chase when he gets one.
He'll probably see one this year, I would have to imagine. So continue to run on pitching. I had to go with the homer pick and grab Tink Hintz from the Cardinals system. He's our number two prospect right now. Wiry kid, lots of fun, electric on the mound. He's touching 99 miles an hour already. 70 grade fastball, 70 grade curveball as well. So it's kind of fun to watch him go out there and throw some gas and then buckle some knees. Back to you, Philly, for two.
Yeah, so We're pretty much winding up on pitching here. My guy here is Cade Horton. He's looking like he might be the Cubs ace in the next 2 years. He got drafted last year. He only threw 53 innings of college ball. But this year, he's absolutely cruising. Guy hits 99 on his fastball, a mid-80s slider that he's throwing with a 65% strike rate. He's already up at AA, and he's K-ing 12.1 per 9 innings. Dude is just locked in, ready to go. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him in May in Wrigley. Just dominant so far. And then a guy we talked about last week on the episode was Jackson Jobe. He's showing 4-plus pitches, great command. He's got 24 innings in high A. They're definitely, you know, kind of babying him a little bit so far. But the promising thing is only 3 walks to 32 strikeouts. You know, an incredible rate. He really does have 1 or 2 upside. Again, this is a guy that was picked number 3 in the draft in 2021. So the pedigree's there. The skills are there. Now he's just putting it all together and staying healthy.
And then round out my rotation with Jacob Mizorowski from the Brewers organization. I think the kid's like 7'8" or something like that. But no, I think he's like 6'7", 6'8". Big lanky kid, 70-grade fastball, 70-grade slider. And he throws gas. And we all know what the Brewers do with pitching. So
I back around to me to fill out my roster, took Ricky Tiedemann. So, again, you guys may have, if you were listeners of the flagship baseball cards podcast that Rob Kemp put on, guy that used to get talked about all the time on that. But really, he's 20. He's up in Double A, and he's arguably the best left-handed starting pitching prospect in the minors. So, yeah, really excited to add Tiedemann. Guy's got some really good numbers. I don't know a whole lot about him. I don't know if he's recovering from an injury. Look, maybe Philly knows. It looks like he has some numbers at the, in the complex and in single A this year, just a few innings, but and only 18 innings in Double A. I don't know. Do you know anything about that, Philly?
Yeah, he was out until a couple weeks ago, honestly, and they're bringing him back slow. But I got to watch one of his starts last week, and yeah, he's looking good. I mean, he's still got all the promises there, the velo's there. You know, kind of a downer lost year at this point, but
yeah,
could be back, you know, pretty strong in 2024.
Cool. All right, so who's going to win the World Series?
Oh,
anybody do an analysis?
I mean, Mariners, I think at this rate, you know, you got to pick them, right?
Oh, I meant out of our three teams, but oh. I love the enthusiasm.
Oh. At this point, I'm just hoping we don't win enough games to keep us out of like a top 15 draft pick. It'd be nice to draft in the top half of the first round for the first time in the last, I don't know, couple of decades. So we're not playing for anything, man. Let's just let the sun set. Let's try again next year.
The Padres have emotionally exhausted me, and they are now just so far out of it that, let's see, yeah, 6.5 out of the wild card. I could go for like a 5-game losing streak so that I don't have to lose sleep over it anymore, because they just keep getting to within 3 or 4, and I get my hopes up, and then they lose 4 in a row.
Bro, I stopped watching in June. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, I don't know. Padres kind of missed the boat on trading away Snell and some of those guys, especially if they don't bring him back.
At least they didn't miss the Ohtani boat.
Oh, I still stand by that they should have kept him, but boy, did that blow up.
So I was actually the Ohtani injury, and shit, I know I have to leave, but I'm going to say my Ohtani take while we're on it, since we brought up Ohtani. The injury might be a blessing in disguise for the Padres, because they're probably the only ones that are still willing to give him an $800 million contract while he's going through like a potential TJ surgery. So I think the odds of him landing in San Diego just went up, and it's not my money, so I don't care. Sign him.
The Padres just offered me a $20 million contract, Bobby.
I'm just hoping that when Preller eventually gets fired, maybe they'll reach out to me and let me be the GM. I feel like I could do it. I'd hire both of you guys, Philly be in charge of my minor leagues. I don't know what TJ be in charge of.
I just go up and talk. That's what I do.
Public relations, well, all the way.
We'll do a good job. I think we could do it. So,
hey, Bobby, thanks for coming on. Hey, and real quick before Bobby leaves, we miss a golden opportunity. Hold on, Philly.
I don't even know what's coming here.
Oh, I hit the Podfather theme. Well, maybe we'll have to throw that in later on the backside. But, Bobby, appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Bobby.
Appreciate it. Thanks for all you do. Really enjoyed coming on, really enjoy listening to the pod. So, again, thanks for all you do. I mean, we all appreciate it in the community.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Robert F. Baseball, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, so the draft is in the books. Bobby Baseball had to bail on us to go watch his Trojans.
Bobby bailout.
So, you know, TJ and I are going to break down the draft a little bit here. TJ, who do you think had the best team?
Man, I hate to see it because the guy just left, but just looking at, you know, the totality of the roster, when you look at Kobe Mayo, Amador, Jackson Holiday, PCA, and, you know, Painter, I've already seen him a little bit. Tiedemann's only a, you know, a hair away from the league. I got to kind of give the nod to Bobby, I feel like. I like his rotation a little bit better. He's got some more, I think, proven type of guys. I think my guys are all a year or two away. But I'll stack, you know, if I want to talk about Junior Caminero, well, he can talk about Jackson Holiday. You know what I mean? And if I want to talk about Brady House, he can bring up Kobe Mayo. So it's going to be tough. And then not to, you know, take shots, but I got a couple questions about a couple of your guys. So, you know, maybe some injury concerns or some youth concerns or some strikeout concerns. But, yeah, I got to give it to Bobby, bro.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to disagree. I look at the pitching, but I think that goes for all of us. And, you know, his ace, Andrew Painter, he's out till 2025 at this point. He's still young. He's still an amazing pitcher, but, you know, it's a long time off to see him where he comes back. And who knows, he might not even be in the bigs fully until 2026 at that rate, you know, depending on how rehab goes. Mm-hmm. Your team, though, man, I think that's going to be a great lineup, great contact, great power potential in there with Caminero, Wood, Max Clark, Wyatt Jenkins. I mean, you're going to score runs. And then on top of it, you've got the most plug-and-play ready ace, you know, in Paul Skeens. So I might give it to you.
Well, very modest of you, especially after I took a subtle shot at your squad. You know, thank you.
I know that I drafted on a lot of upside and, you know, maybe some diamonds in the rough, but, you know, sometimes, as a great commercial once said, fortune favors the brave.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, if I had, and I guess that kind of goes to the next question, you know, the team, who do we think has the biggest range of outcomes? Like, who's going to, you know, I think you could have a boom or bust kind of situation on your hands here with guys like Tamar Johnson, Cam Collier, and Drew Jones specifically.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even I'm looking at it, and don't get me wrong, I'm a huge fan of Jack Centurio, but he also just strikes me as a guy that, you know, he could have that possibility of being, you know, that generational or every couple of years five-tool bust. I mean, hate to say it, but good possibility. I mean,
you watch your mouth when you talk, you know, about Cheerios, I mean, sir.
Where was it we were looking at last night, you know, when Bobby did his 95 Bowman rip? The number two prospect at the time was Ruben Rivera. You know, he was supposed to be, you know, the king of all New York, you know, center fielder, five tool. And sometimes these guys just don't pan out. And, you know, it's always something to worry about. But, yeah, I mean, even guys like Lazaro Montez and Samuel Basayo, Xavier Isaac, they're young. They're flashing, but man, are they a long ways away.
Yeah, I think my major concern was probably Tamar and Drew Jones. I think those were the two. So, you know, Tamar, I'm excited about him. You know, as a guy, I had a couple nice cards of his last year, but man, he just strikes out at an alarming rate. And I just really want the Pirates to be good, man. I really want it to work out for them. I really want, you know, a few of these kids to pop. And I thought it was looking good. And then could Brian Hayes, would he break his wrist or something like that?
I mean,
yeah, and, you know, even as a division rival, it's just, damn, you know, you feel bad for him at a certain point.
I mean,
they got
a good fan base. I mean, but, you know, they get the chances to draft and to sign guys, and it just, you know, blows up in their face half the time. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the big thing with Tamar Johnson that's bizarre is just, at least so far, how off, you know, the general consensus was on his hit tool. I mean, to plug a guy with a 70 hit tool, not even Jackson Holiday was getting that out of the draft. And they're saying, you know, Tamar's supposed to be the best pure hitter in years. He's hitting 240, 250 and, you know, showing more power. So, again, you know, like we said during the draft, maybe there's something mental he's trying to overcompensate for there, you know, trying to prove he can go deep too. I don't know, but something going on with his approach has definitely changed from, you know, when the scouts were loving him last year.
Yeah, at some point it's between the ears too, right? I mean, you have to factor that in, and it's something that's impossible to measure, impossible to quantify, but it is a thing.
So any players left that surprised you?
I guess we left your boy out of Texas out of there, right?
Yeah. Evan Carter, yeah.
That's right. You know, outfield is deep. You know what I mean? There's just, because it's a three position, right, so to speak, and nobody's listed as left, right, center. So it's just so deep. And I think once, you know, you start talking about grabbing guys like Dominguez, Wood, Churio, you know, Pete Crow, Armstrong, Dylan Cruz. I mean, these are, you know, stud hype guys. I guess you could argue I probably could have, you know, left Jet Williams maybe off and grabbed Carter, but he was probably the one that stood out. What about you?
I mean, I like the Jet Williams pick. I mean, if you're building, you know, a lineup, I mean, having him at the top is kind of your on-base, stolen base threat to, you know, spark that lineup. He's not a bad way to go. I think for me, what just stands out is, you know, nobody picked Jordan Lawler, Marcelo Mayer, Carson Williams, Brooke Lee. I mean, kind of talking about outfield, the shortstop group is just incredibly deep right now as well. You know, these guys are all soon to be potential franchise starting shortstops. Marcelo Mayer's had a bit of a down year in Double A, but, you know, people still think he's going to pull it together. Carson Williams, you know, if somebody doesn't come back by next season, you know, he might be at the shortstop as well. Brooks Lee, it sounds like he's not going to get the call up this year, but he's going to be starting in the bigs next year too.
I think, and you know, I brought it up during the draft a little bit, but shortstop is one of those positions where, you know, you take a kid, he's just your best athlete, you know, he's probably playing shortstop, right? So it's listed as super deep and they kind of dissipate a little bit as they get to the bigs. Like, okay, maybe you're going to stick at third because, you know, he outgrew the position. You got a bunch of 6'5", 235 pound shortstops running around out there. And then, I mean, you take a look at the guys that, you know, that came off the board. I mean, you talk about Jackson Holliday, consensus number one prospect in the game, right? Talk about Jackson Merrill, guy's been hyped for a few years. He's just a hair away from the league. And then Colson Montgomery, you can make a similar argument to Merrill for. So even with that, I'd say Lawler is probably the one that jumps off the most to me, that nobody picked him up. I think he's probably kind of overshadowed in Arizona a little bit with the Drew Jones, the Corbin Carroll hype and everything else. He's kind of, you know, buried a little bit because the Diamondbacks have a lot of really young, studly type guys coming up. But yeah, I would have been interested to see Lawler come off, if nothing else, maybe as a DH.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I guess at the end of the day, if we were running our own real teams, you know, none of us would have shied away from signing him and, you know, seeing who could win out the shortstop spot and stick the other guy in the outfield or second base. But yeah, I mean, maybe when we look at this again in a year, it might be, what the hell were we thinking, you know, picking Jackson Merrill and Colson Montgomery with Jordan Lawler tearing it up in the bigs.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, overall, it was a great draft, man. I think I had a lot of fun doing that. It was
a
good
time.
Yeah,
we'll definitely keep track of it and, you know, maybe by next season, see where our guys are at and, you know, see if we'd cut anybody, have a little bit of a redraft or a free agency draft, so to speak.
Yeah, see how, you know, and I don't know who we're going to track who, quote unquote, wins this or anything like that, but maybe, you know, how many of these guys actually make it to the bigs and play more than a year or something like that before
they positive war and, you know, have some WRC pluses.
Hey, there you go. Let's judge them all on war. Perfect. There you go.
So I guess last question, though, we're looking at it, and I'm already looking at my team, and I don't know if I was just trying to be too cute, but any reaches for you in the draft?
All right, so I had one for myself and then one for you was the two reaches that I saw. So for myself, Skennis, whatever, I got excited to just grab a pitcher, right? He was the first pitcher off the board. Everybody else was bouncing around with positional players, and I just grabbed a guy. Now, I'm not sure that there's a lot of other pitchers on here I'd rather have. I don't know, maybe Painter was kind of a reach by Bobby now that I'm looking at it, given his elbow or arm situation. But, yeah, I jumped pretty early on Skenes, and maybe like to have that back. And then, you know, my other one was, who the hell is Samuel Basalo?
Going for that deep cut, like I said. You know, you can find him if you buy a box of the Onyx vintage cards, TJ. I mean, you know, he's out there somewhere in the world. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I look at it and, you know, some of the influence I have, you know, from the Twitterverse and some of the prospect sites I read. Dude sounds kind of like the next big thing to come through the Baltimore system, you know, wave after wave. And, you know, give me the high upside catcher, but he could be my first baseman too. And we'll see how it goes in a year. And that could be a crazy pick, or, you know, you guys could all be jealous of me in a year. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't super familiar with the guy, but all right. So did you see any reaches?
I mean, I would agree with the Skeens thing, but you know, we had to draft pitchers and you got arguably the highest rated prospect. You know, maybe Jefferson Caro. I don't know if I'm completely sold on the bat. You know, and like the collector appeal, depending on if we're looking at that or not. I mean, he's going to be coming up at the same time as Churio, so he might get lost in the dust a little bit. You know, otherwise, I think it's pretty well-rounded teams. Most guys, I wouldn't object to, you know, again, just to pick on my own team a little bit. You know, of all the hitting options at DH, you know, going with my little fanboy crush of Lazaro Montez, it might have been a little bit of a reach. Dude's raking right now, but, you know, it could just be a hot streak, so we'll see.
I don't hate that pick, though.
I mean, if he works out, you know, it looks great, but, you know, if he turns into just some left-handed, you know, strikeout artist, then we'll see. He might not be on the team next year.
Well, that's fun. Well, I look forward to seeing how that kind of materializes over the next couple of years. It'll be fun to watch.
I just kind of wanted to drop one stat, you know, related to pitching I heard the other day on the Just Baseball podcast. They were talking about pitchers since 2019 of guys that average 95 miles per hour or more and have thrown over 700 innings since 2019. There's only been five of them. So really just a testament to guys like Paul Skeens, Mizorowski, Cade Horton, Jackson Jobe, all these guys we drafted, they're not necessarily, it's going to be very unlikely that they're going to stay healthy even early in their career. You know, looking at that 5-year window, you know, you got guys like Garrett Cole, Jose Berrios that are holding in there, holding strong, not having troubles. But for the most part, guys throwing that hard, that young, are going to run into some issues. And it's kind of up to the teams and up to you as card collectors if you want to take on that risk, I guess.
Yeah, it's tough to throw gas and do it consistently and do it for a long time. I mean, you know, you're looking at Otani. Right. He's that elbow's done for the second time already.
So that brings up an interesting question I was going to ask you just to kind of fire off the cuff here. You know, we've seen a little bit more of those two-way prospects popping up, you know, in the draft and whatnot. With Otani's second, you know, possibility of undergoing Tommy John, do you think teams are going to cool on that a little bit, or do you think they're still going to roll the dice and see if it'll work?
I think you would have to be absolutely undeniable in order to make it happen. And so, you know, like I said, Mason Wynn was a fairly hyped prospect and he was a two-way player in high school. And so, you know, and I read a lot of Cardinals blogs and, you know, things like that, you know, particularly about their incoming prospects, because, you know, that's my team, bro. That's who I'm going to be watching. You know, when I'm old, I'd like to know who these dudes are. So with Mason Wynn, they immediately shut that shit down. It was immediately, you know, I'm not even sure if he pitched anything at all, you know, for the Cardinals, you know, of any significance. They specialized him, you know, immediately. And I don't think many other teams would hesitate to do the same. There's, you know, it might be organization dependent. So, you know, I think that might be something you might see the Rays give a shot at, you know, some of these little crafty kind of teams.
You know, and he was supposed to be a thing and his, you know, his arm blew out. So, I mean, it's kind of, there's not a lot of risk.
The game is so tough to play. You have to be so specialized and it's just so hard to be specialized in two things. You know what I mean? We look back on, you know, Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson. We talk all this stuff. Nobody really talks about, and you know, unpopular opinion, but Deion Sanders wasn't that great of a baseball player. You know what I mean? It's really tough to do two things well at the same time at the highest level that exists.
I mean, Bo, you know, was a great baseball player until he got hurt. I mean, an incredible football player. Just go watch those Monday Night Football Seahawks highlights of the Raiders steamrolling him and
Brian Bosworth.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, it's a gamble, and I think even this year, like Bryce Eldridge, one of the guys that Bobby picked, you know, who's drafted as a two-way player, but they're not going to let him pitch this year. They just want him to focus on hitting, get acclimated to baseball life, and, you know, see what comes of it. So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, there's a guy in the draft next year, Jack Coniglione from Florida, two-way monster. You know, the guy they call Jack Tawny. you know, he's got gas. He can bring it from the left side. He can also hit 35 bombs. But, you know, is a team going to look at him and say, let's just do one or the other, man? We'd rather have you in the lineup for 150 games than have you pitch in and miss a year or two here and there.
I think you know, a cool approach with Ohtani, what if they use him as a closer? You know what I mean? Or like a situational relief or something like that. And just, you know, high leverage. Hey, man, you got an inning in you today. And I know the dynamics of starting pitching versus relief pitching are completely different and recovery, et cetera. But, you know, it feels like that might be a way to kind of stretch that out. You know what I mean? Prolong that.
And I mean, you know, he's got many years ahead of him. But, you know, my favorite Shohei moment to this point is him closing out, you know, Team USA in the World Baseball Classic. I mean, the dude.
Bring him in, let him throw 12 pitches. Moment,
bring the smoke, call it a night. I mean, just shut it down. I mean, he would be an all-time closer too, I'm sure, if given the opportunity. And then you can still have him in the lineup for the first 8 innings and you move him over to pitcher. He gives up a run. Well, at least bring in another guy and he's still in the lineup for you.
Yeah, so to answer your question, I think that, you know, maybe if this Jack Tani guy, if he continues to do everything like that, he's just absolutely undeniable. He's, you know, player of the year pitching and he smashes a ton of home runs and they go to the College World Series and he does both things on a big stage and he gets into the right organization, they might do it. It doesn't strike me that the Cardinals are the type of organization that's going to do that. There's probably a little few more old school, if you will, organizations that won't go that route. But, you know, the right place or the right circumstance, you might. But I just don't think we'll ever see anybody do it the level we watched Ohtani do it. And it's sad that we might not see that again.
You know, you hope for the best. And even if he does have the TJ, you know, you hope he kind of does the Bryce Harper thing, comes back, you know, midway next year and starts raking. And then, you know, maybe in 2025, we see him back on the bump again. But who knows?
It's always fun, you know, being me is like, oh, were you talking to me? Oh, no, you're just talking about the devastating elbow injury of your favorite starting pitcher. Carry on.
Yeah, sad times.
Should we hit the mailbag, Philly? All right. So our good man, Nicholas Riccio, he sent us a question, and I'm going to let you speak on it. So what does the DSL performance translate to in terms of minor league baseball? Maybe you can also tell us what the hell the DSL is.
Yeah, absolutely. So the DSL, the Dominican Summer League, you know, really where a lot of those guys that are signed as international free agents kind of break in, start getting used to the pro ball structure. Nice 60-70 game season. You know, they got playoffs and everything else going on, but it's completely on the Dominican Republic. So these guys aren't having to leave home and deal with a lot of the mental stuff, but it's a great way for them to showcase. You know, similar here to like a lot of the perfect game type stuff, the Team USA traveling teams. It gives scouts, it gives the executives a chance to really dig in and say, you know, does this guy have it? Should we bring him stateside? But, you know, short answer, what does it translate to? Not a lot. You are going to get a glimpse of, you know, some standout stars. You're going to see some guys that put up great DSL numbers. You look at the back of their Bowman card, holy shit, why is nobody talking about this guy? And you might, you know, get really invested in it. But also there's guys that, you know, have perfectly, you know, moderate, you know, stats, but maybe the scouts and executives see things from their approach, from their skill set, you know, kind of some of those numbers that we don't get to see. You know, footage of this stuff's hard to come by. So really the people that are only kind of getting the idea of what the player has going on are the scouts and execs down there. You know, you do see guys like Sebastian Wolcott, for instance, Texas Rangers prospect, big old shortstop, huge power potential. He wasn't doing great in the Dominican, but they said, you know what? You seem to know what's going on. Let's get you over to the Complex League. Next thing he's in the Complex League, he is absolutely going off. So they're trusting what they see with their eyes, but the numbers don't always, you know, tell the full story. Oh. TJ, you're so quiet yet again.
TJ is always muted. That's a nice breakdown for the DSL. You know, it's one of those things where it's tough to kind of get anything concrete out of it, like you said, right? It's kind of like an educated guess. I wouldn't even call it. It's almost like high school.
I mean, for the most part, they're playing against their peers. You know, the batters are facing guys that maybe have one or two pitches at most they can even control. You know, the velo is not developed yet, so. You know, the hardest they might see is a guy throwing 91 for 3 days.
And I think the main takeaway is that everything up until minor league baseball is you're playing against, you know, peers in terms of age, right? And once you get to the minor leagues, you're talking about peers in terms of skill level, talent, or generally speaking, with some exceptions. You know what I mean? You got guys rehabbing from injuries or et cetera, et cetera. But it's a better indication of what they're really going to do in the major leagues, which is what we're, you know, what we're hoping to see, right? We want to see these kids on some major league baseball.
And, you know, a lot of the guys starting off in the DSL are 16, 17 years old. You bump them up to complex ball stateside. Not only are they adjusting to a new life, you know, they're adjusting to guys that are high school seniors that have been doing the traveling circuit. They're adjusting to college players that are getting their first glimpse, you know, that have been playing, you know, 3-4 more years. So it's definitely a transition. You know, it's a good start. It's kind of fun to start identifying guys and see where they go over, you know, over time, but it doesn't tell you a whole lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Great question, Nick. Thank you. All right, so Z Waterbear had a specific question about Division de los Santos. He's a double-A guy in the Diamondbacks system. He's hitting well. He's young, but he's not getting the hype. What's the deal with that, Philly?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you kind of talked about it a little bit with Jordan Lawler. I mean, that guy, that system is just so stacked with standout guys. You know, you got Corbin Carroll up there. You got Lawler. You got guys like Ivan Melendez, you know, raking the ball out of the park constantly. Even Drew Jones, everybody's talking about him, even though he's not doing anything. So, yeah, Division de los Santos, he is a guy a little bit, you know, maybe under the radar. They signed him back in 2019, but, you know, between COVID and then that first waiting, you know, time once he signed internationally, it took him 2 years to debut. He's only 19. First two seasons were great, you know, in complex and A-ball. He's getting challenged a little bit in double-A, but, you know, that's not a bad thing. You know, kind of gives him some ideas to work on. And he's got tremendous power. He's all right at third base, you know, but he's also been playing a fair bit of first base. So, you know, you might see him wind up there in the long term. You know, the question is he going to take at bats away from Christian Walker? Probably not. You know, Evan Longoria is kind of just a veteran stopgap at third base. So when he's ready, I mean, in theory, there's a spot for him. You know, he might be back at double-A to start next year. Right now, looking at the numbers, sub-700 OPS, off-speed stuff's just killing him, 5% rate, 27% K rate. Yeah, a lot of potential, like I said, tremendous power, but he's got a little bit of a ways to go. So, you know, having him in the top five of D-backs prospects is a healthy, you know, indictment of, like, what people think of his skill level.
Yeah, definitely. There's a few things there that are maybe a little bit concerning, you know, not taking a lot of walks, you know, kind of buried in a system with a ton of guys, and he's not really playing a premium defensive position, right? I mean, first base is not, you know, that's not a high upside for position. Generally, with very few exceptions, you know, guys end up at first base because they flamed out somewhere else. You know what I mean?
You know, they want to find a way to get it in. I mean, this
And you got some guys that feel that, you know, Paul Goldschmidt and, you know, people that Albert Pujols played a wonderful first base, but, you know, he kind of started to lack the range as his body filled out. You kind of get put at first base. So, and that kind of looks like that might be, you know, the prognosis for De Los Santos. He does not have a first Bowman Chrome auto. He was in 2023 Bowman. He's got the parallels and the mojos and everything else you want to find, but he didn't have an auto in there. My guess is that he could potentially be in Bowman Chrome without the first logo on it as just another guy, and he may or may not be on the auto checklist. So, you know, these prospects, he'll also potentially be in Bowman Draft. He'll also potentially be in 2024 Bowman and subsequently until he gets called up. So he'll get an auto at some point. He just doesn't have one
yet. Yeah, he's definitely on the radar, and he's definitely a legitimate prospect. It's just, like I said, he's got a little bit to work on. So see where he goes.
All right, and then Brian Smith. So he said it's maybe not for this show. Everything's for this show, bro. Don't worry about that. But those of us getting into prospects, lining out how fall and winter ball works and what that does to the hobby. So I'll let you – we'll start there. Tell us a little bit about fall ball, winter ball.
My sentiment is that once baseball season dies off and NBA, NFL, NHL, all these things are going on, you know, the baseball market slows down a lot. So this is an opportunity, you know, to kind of geek out a little bit, check in on the Arizona Fall League stats. You're going to see a lot of, you know, prospects that are on the cusp of coming up, performing there. and really just identify guys that you could use to your advantage. Oh, all of a sudden, let's say Julio Rodriguez was there, you know, a couple of years back. He looks legit. Okay, so now that the market's down, go buy those guys. Take advantage of what you're seeing in terms of development, in terms of the numbers they're putting up. Usually if they show well in the AFL, it's going to transfer over to the next season, and they're trending upwards.
And there's some pretty savvy guys that'll watch winter ball and fall ball and things like that, and, you know, make deals based on that. But in terms of, you know, just getting in the hobby, off season is the time to buy. It is not the time to sell. And the one exception I'll make is if you're selling a newly released hype product in that little first window of new release time that I bring up all the time. You'll see Bowman Draft will come out late winter, probably, you know, mid, late December. Sell some Bowman Draft, bro. Go for it. I'd advocate, you know, in hindsight, having bought Bowman Draft last year, holding some of that stuff a little while longer. I sold some Jackson Holiday first Bowman Chrome base cards probably way, way sooner than I should have. But with that said, you know, it's the time to buy, and it's really, really not the time to sell. You can sell stuff in the off season on eBay, but it's not going to command the same premium that it does in season. And like Philly very intelligently pointed to, NBA season, NFL season, as we know, you know, as baseball card collectors, I don't know if any of you guys get into football or basketball. I don't personally, but those prices are astronomical compared to what we're looking at in baseball. Everything is Bowman, first chrome, autos,
and
parallels,
that and, look and like, football. You know, dog shit, but, you know, thousands of dollars for a first of those.
It's bananas, you know, and then imagine those guys that bought those Trey Lance cards at a premium. RIP. But in either case, so, you know, the off season is a great time to buy. It's a great time to look for steals. But unless you're selling those, you know, new release or super hype guys or anything like that, you know, if somebody does something in winter ball and they're all over the news, yeah, that might be a good time to sell that. Jackson Churio went crazy last year in the off season. But I'd just be buying and holding stuff and getting ready to sell. It's also a good time to grade.
Absolutely.
Send it off for grade.
And, you know, I think the only thing I could think of too in terms of wanting to sell is like maybe, and maybe you'll disagree. I mean, maybe spring training is more of the right time, but like award winners, if an MVP gets announced, yeah, put your cards up. You know, these guys are in the news. You know, rookies of the year, you might find that window right after it gets announced. I know J-Rod right after he won, you know, great time to sell, but quickly, you know, he's out of the news the next week.
All right, so the last part of his question, do players not in fall ball get cheap or stay the same because they don't need the reps? I'm not sure that I've seen a correlation to that.
I think, guys, you know, I tend to think that a lot of people, other than like the hardcore baseball prospect nerds and baseball fans, are following the fall league. So I think across the board, there's generally just a market dip at that time. You know, some guys like Holiday and Caminero aren't going to come down until, you know, they've had like major league failures or something to that extent. But, you know, kind of your middle of the road prospects or even your, you know, fringe elite guys, they're going to drop a little bit because people aren't focused on baseball. And that's whether or not they're playing. So I think, you know, analyzing the fall ball stuff, you know, the Dominican, like the Caribbean winter leagues, all that, you know, great to follow. It can give you a little bit of an edge on, you know, who might be popping up and who might be really showing out. But I don't think the guys that stay away from it are going to fall any more than, you know, guys playing still.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's, yeah, just some more information available to you. If you're savvy enough to follow the Arizona Fall League or any of that other kind of stuff and, you know, kind of track that stats and you see, ooh, this guy is just absolutely lighting it up, then yeah, go buy some of his stuff for cheap. Because like I just said, in the off season, great time to buy.
If Michael Bush goes and hits 15 home runs there, you know, he might be starting for the Dodgers next year. And, you know, he's a big time power bat too. So, I mean, guys like that where they're close, you know, they perform, snatch them up.
Yeah, and subsequently, if you got a bunch of Michael Bush cards and that happens, then yeah, list those things. And maybe that guy that we just talked about that's also watching goes, hey, Michael Bush is going to be really good this year. He'll be willing to pay that premium on that card. Definitely. All right, I think that's it for the mailbag. I think we emptied it out, Philly.
So, I mean, what are we going to do next time we're here?
Oh, man. Well, I'm hoping that by the time we do this again, we can talk about Bowman Chrome in an intelligent, informed way. And we have a checklist and we can see, you know, just how ridiculous and degenerate I am and, you know, HTA boxes and try to stay away from brakes, etc. But I'm hoping we can get a full intense, I mean, we might go marathon on Bowman Chrome.
Yeah, we might, you know, bring in a special guest or two and really just, you know, dive in and, you know, give the people what they want, what we want. Next episode is going to drop Tuesday, September 12th. That's one day before Bowman Chrome release. So, you know, when that thing drops, listen, start lining up your bucks, you know, to see who you might want to be chasing, you know, or we might tell you to wait and, you know, see a little bit who's going to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then stay tuned for a potential rant about Topps shipping policies, practices, depending on how my pre-order does or does not arrive in line with the delivery window. Hey, shout out to the Discord. Shout out to you, Philly, for putting all this together again, my man. Shout out to Robert F. Baseball for coming on and doing that prospect draft on a short time crunch. And yeah, man, it's been another one. Thanks everybody for checking us out, and make sure, you know, what's all that, like and subscribe and yada yada.
Check out the Yachty Guy on TikTok. You know, he's posting some gold, and if you want to see some in person chatter, you know, get those numbers up for him.
Oh yeah, so TJ the Yachty Guy on TikTok. There'll be some little video sneak peeks of us recording the podcast live. You can see us all and our little faces and the little screens on my laptop. It's very engaging and quite exciting, if I may say so myself. But just little peeks of the podcast and stuff like that. And we're looking at potentially maybe streaming some live episodes or some things like that in the future. So stay tuned for all of that while I figure out how to work this technology and maintain the Chinese spies away from my home.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We got No Living Witness to play us out. Hope you have some good hits and a good time in the hobby. Talk to you soon.
Later on, guys.